Any first-time guests today? All right, we got two of them, three. Let's welcome you guys. Thanks for coming, guys. Appreciate it. So huddle, just to keep in mind, table leaders, we try to end around 12:50. It's okay if you go a little longer, but if you're sitting around a table and you're still talking and you need to leave to get back to work, it's okay. All right, I know sometimes I've sat here and my heart starts racing, like, I gotta go, but if you need to leave around then, that's fine. So I want you to know that. Let's give it up for our ladies over here. Taking the time to serve lunch. Thank you, guys. If we weren't at huddle, these two guests, I'd probably put a basketball hoop up at one of these ends and just have you guys battle out, see which Kokomo legend still has a game. But we're so grateful that Travis Taplinger here and J.C. Barnett, they both run not-for-profits, Bridges Outreach and Carver Center. So we'll go ahead and pray for our meal, all right? Father God, just thank you for just being a creator, your masterpiece. Thank you for creating Huddle through Jim Jacobs so many years ago, Father God. And Lord, we just hope this time is honoring to you and glorifying to you. Thank you for JC and Travis for saying yes. God, open our hearts and our minds and our souls and our spirits, Lord, this time. Any distraction in our mind, just make it go away right now, that we can just lean into your spirit and what you have for us. God, we just thank you for this food. Nourish it to our bodies and our mind and our soul. We love you so much. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, everyone, for an opportunity to be here today and for coming and being obedient and just being in the room. I think we all kind of know by now in our lives just how important it is to be in the room. And but first of all, well, I'm a writer by nature, and so I'm not a speaker. And so bear with me up here today. So I'm gonna kind of start myself by engaging in conversation with the Lord through another prayer before I start the conversation today. So Lord, everybody please be in the attitude of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you and praise you again for your goodness and your mercy. You are so good. I thank you for allowing us to be here today, to be in this space with one another, to learn and to hear a word from you. It's not me and Travis up here talking today, but Lord, through your Holy Spirit, you have a message to convey to each and every single one of these men. And Lord, help us to feel some level of conviction today. Help us to learn today and take it and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I thought it was a tremendously important, it was laid on my heart, on a Travis' heart, to talk about emotions. And a few things were on my mind, really a couple of things were on my mind. As men, as heads of households, it's tremendously important that we understand how important our leadership is and how it affects the members of our families, that be it our wives, for those of us who are married, and our children, for those of us who have kids. So that's one of the things. And I'm not here to talk about politics, but it is an election year, okay? And I have seen far too many relationships be severed over the conversation of politics over the last 4 to 8 years. And so one of the things I'd like to really explore and to find it within ourselves to change is, how do we manage our emotions through having some of the difficult conversations that we have? And that includes politics. And lastly, I want us to walk away from this building today feeling some level of conviction about how we dealt with emotions in our past, how we deal with them currently, and how we can move forward in our lives and dealing with emotions differently than we ever have before. So Travis is going to do a tremendous job of breaking down what God has blessed us with in terms of the emotions that he has given us and how they play a role in our lives.
Yeah, so when you first hear the word emotions or feelings, you're like, hey, isn't this huddle? Isn't this where all the men are supposed to meet? And for some reason, we think that emotions are for women. And the reality is when I see emotions being abused in the Bible by men that love the Lord, or by people that love the Lord, most of the time it was men. It was men. And I think it's a disservice to ourselves to think that something that God created isn't that big of a part of our life, because I really believe it is. I'm no psychologist by any means, but I've seen firsthand how emotions that God gave us, if not checked and taken back to the Lord, can lead to destruction and can lead to some really, really bad decision making. So if you have your handout, those primary emotions on the left, and we're just going to kind of focus on the negative ones today. Next week, we're going to look at some of the positive ones. You see anger and sadness and fear and disgust. And to be honest, God had all those emotions. In the Old Testament, there was plagues. In the New and the Old Testament, God's anger burned, and he killed people, literally killed people because of his anger. Jesus flipped money tables when he was angry. Sadness, in Genesis 6, it said God was sad in his heart. In 1 Samuel 15, it said he was sad that he made Saul king. Jesus was sad when his friend Lazarus died. Fear. I know fear is probably not something that we fear God. I don't think he had it. But even in Gethsemane in the garden, Jesus three times asked God to take that cup from him. And then disgust. In Proverbs 7, it says, or in Proverbs, it says there's seven things that God disgusts: lying lips, the shedding of innocent blood, devising wicked schemes, bearing false witness, haughty eyes, a heart that plots evil, and feet that race to do wrong. So again, anger, sadness, fear, disgust, these are things that God experienced. These are things that we will experience. There's nothing wrong with that. But now take your sheet and look at those secondary emotions. Have you ever seen Jesus was so angry that he became violent or resentful? Have you ever seen Jesus was so sad that he became lonely or depressed? Have you ever seen Jesus was anxious or panicked? Did Jesus ever show scorn or contempt? You know, and these things that God created, if we're not careful, they shift from these primary things that come up inside of us. And I use this analogy all the time. If a bear, like a legit 11-foot grizzly bear, stormed through that door, none of us would say, oh, faith over fear, you know. We're good. No, our first omissions are, I'm getting behind JC, or I think I'm quicker than most of you guys in the room. I'm running. Or who's the biggest guy? Maybe we get behind him. But we're going to be shocked. We're going to be afraid. And that's real. But then if we hang on to those things, if we don't take them to the Lord, if we don't deal with them, we're going to unpack how negative and how destructive those emotions can be if we don't take care of them. So today, we're going to start with giving us some personal. We're going to be transparent. We're going to give some personal stories of when we allowed our emotions to become destructive. And today, we're not really going to talk much about solutions. What we really want the men in this room to do, and the women, is to think about, are there emotions in my heart that have become unchecked, that I haven't dealt with, that have now become these secondary emotions that have become destructive? So today might be a day of repentance, of confession, of us saying, wow, I didn't realize this was in my life, but now I do, and now I need to address it. So JC's going to share a time when we have each doubled.
Thank you, Travis. As far back as I can remember, I have dealt with fear and anxiety. And this has played a role in my life and been a stronghold in my life a long time. And even dating back to when I was young and I was an athlete before a game, there would be times where I was thinking, man, I wish I could just watch from the sideline today, because there's something that's gripping me that didn't make me feel confident in stepping out into that arena of play, or engaging in conversation with individuals, or performing well on that test. And this has carried over into my adult life in many ways. You know, one of the things that I have had to deal with in reference to emotion has been, does anybody imitate well? Imitate from the standpoint of, you can watch a person do a thing and you can pretty close do that thing exactly the way that they do it themselves. Well, I can relate to that from emotions, from the standpoint of, I absorb people's emotions sometimes. Can anybody in here relate to me? I'm gonna get some participation in this room today. And anybody who has married and have been having a great day and walk across the threshold of your house, and the moment you walk across the threshold, you feel that the energy in the room is not matching the energy that you walked in with. Okay, so I have struggled with taking on that energy when I should have been displaying leadership and being the example of exactly what the Lord would have me do, is to first take a step back, be silent, go to Him, and to display character and display my emotions in a manner that's not reflecting the negativity that you might be feeling in that moment, but be lifted up above that, and to project a more positive emotion on for yourself, over your spouse, and even for your kids, because you know as well as I know that everybody in that house feels it when Dad feels it, right? And so that has been something I've dealt with in my life. But along with some of the emotions that have been given, also in that same vein is the ability to sympathize and empathize, right? Being able to empathize with a person's emotions is a very good thing. That means that you can feel what they're feeling. But if you allow those negative emotions to overtake you and to impact in a negative manner your household or the things that are going on around you, then that's not a very productive or constructive environment to be in for you, especially if you're trying to be a positive example for your children. So these are things that I have felt convicted of myself, and I've had to take to the Lord. Going back kind of to me dealing with anxiety, my toughest bout with anxiety, I would have to say, was the end of 2023 and the beginning of 2024. Man, I could hardly eat. I probably lost 20 to 30 pounds. I had a difficult time interacting with my wife. I had a difficult time interacting with my children. And it showed up in other ways in my life that was just terrible. And I changed my routine. I changed my habit. I started to pray profusely. I started to get in the Word and search the heart of God, and He showed up in a tremendous way for me. And beyond that point, my kids and my wife have grown closer relationships, being the example for them. My relationship, of course, has grown closer. There's not a day now that I'm looking forward to the time frame in my day that I can get in my Word and make a connection with the Lord, and to feel His presence. That is what my day-to-day looks like. You know, if I got to go to work and I'm working a certain number of hours a day, I'm doing the best I can to find that time frame where I can get in the Word and talk to the Lord and He can talk to me. But so changed my life, felt a level of conviction, changed my life, changed my family's life, changed my professional life. When I was asked to be director of the Carver Center early this year, prior to being asked, I had no idea that that would be a thing in the months to come. And when I was asked, I took a couple of weeks to make a decision on it. And, you know, it wasn't anymore the idea that I was pursuing a job. It was, I'm pursuing a calling. And in that calling, I have an opportunity to share this very thing that I'm sharing with you in the room today to young people through our programs. Just for whatever reason that they need to step across the front and through the front doors of the Carver Community Center, I'm able to make a connection with them. And that means a tremendous amount to me. So being able to manage emotions for me in my life and learning how to do that from a godly perspective, it's life-changing. And so I hope that made a connection with somebody today.
Yeah, so my childhood was pretty charmed. I tell people that my childhood dog didn't even die. I don't remember crying or being sad much between when I was born and when I graduated high school. I just had a very good life, not many hardships, death, anything like that. And that kind of continued through college until I started praying that God would break me, not really knowing what the answer to that prayer would look like. And when He did break me, it was really the greatest year of my life. It was a year I spent in Chicago, and I got robbed at gunpoint, which was a big part of the healing, because I thought I was superhuman and nothing bad happened to me. And I realized I became so paralyzed with fear that I couldn't even leave my apartment. And I was essentially a missionary in Chicago that couldn't walk out of my bedroom. After just a month ago thinking I could, you know, save all of Chicago. That's how arrogant and cocky I was. And that process of Him breaking me and molding me, such a blessing. Hardships and trials are really the greatest blessing God gives us, because He builds character. And then me and my best friend, Casey, we were going to start Bridges Outreach. And my dad was a part of it, and everything was lining up. And to set it up a little bit, I was graduating from Anderson with an elementary degree. Casey had graduated from a business degree. I was engaged to my wife now, Lisa. Casey had some offers at all over the Midwest. I had some youth positions that I had offered, but we really felt like God was calling us to Kokomo, to where the Gilead House is now. It used to be the YWCA, and it was for sale. And these two guys from another church, they were great guys. They felt like God was telling them to buy this building and turn it into a youth center. Well, me and Casey were feeling like we were supposed to run a youth center. And all this came together. Again, emotions can be good and bad, but we just had the joy of the Lord. Everything's smooth. This is easy. What's next? We had the colors of the wall and the paint picked out. And I come home in December after substitute teaching. We had told Kokomo what we were going to do. We were in the paper. Everyone said, that's going to be Bridges. Again, I hope you're feeling how much momentum was rolling. And the lady that was going to buy it said, God told me no, and I'm moving to Florida. And you would think of all the things that God had done that I would have stayed faithful. Well, let me tell you how quickly I turned on God. I'm out of here. I started looking at other jobs. Casey, why don't you take the fire department job? Kokomo must not want us. There was so much confusion and pain and embarrassment. We told Kokomo what we were going to do, and now we're not. I mean, we were so in our emotions that literally, if it wasn't for a bunch of really strong Christian men and mentors, there would be no bridges. Because I was ready to run, and Casey was going to run with me. I hope you see how quickly emotions can derail men and families and ministries and churches. Then God used that to where now when those things happen, and I've had just as hard of things happen as that, when I look back at it, it really wasn't even that bad. In fact, it was a blessing. We ended up going to the school across the street, and that's how Bridges found our niche, is we go to kids instead of them coming to us. But then later, I had cancer. I had we've had some leadership things at Bridges. We've had some family issues. And again, all of those things that he built up in my 20s have helped me now get to those things to where those really weren't even a big deal, because God has shown me, I've given you emotions, but then give them back to me. You know, you're going to feel them, but then bring them to my feet. Speak them to me. Don't go throw them on Facebook. Don't go spurt them out to your friends and family just yet. Bring them to me. Let me hear your heart. And in Numbers, we're going to zoom through this, but you're going to see an example of a bunch of people that because of their emotions make a bunch of terrible decisions. And I want you to see that God will let you live in your emotions, and God will let you make bad decisions. But he also will give you consequences for that. So in Numbers 10, they've escaped Egypt. They just left Mount Sinai. This is crazy to me, because we know the whole story. But guys, put yourself in their shoes. They're a couple months away from being in the Promised Land. And they're just a few months away from being slaves in Egypt. I mean, talk about the greatest redemption story ever. You're about to be from slaves to having the Promised Land, where you have dominion and ownership over the best. And it could have happened like this. But in Numbers 11, they start complaining. They start whining. They start craving other food, which doesn't seem like that big of a deal, but basically that's not really gratitude. God's given them bread, and they said, we want meat too. They start getting discontent. Then, so now the emotions are in their head, but then they say, man, we should go back to Egypt. We had it good there. Wasn't it so good? The milk and the honey was flowing. Now they're lying. They had to work. They were doubling their bricks and their mortar. It wasn't like they're romanticizing the past. They're minimizing their reality. Their emotions are now leading them to lie. And then they're lying, built by other people lying, starts to build peer pressure, and then they get jealous of Moses. It's got to be his fault. Isn't it so easy to blame leaders? Yeah. God, let's challenge the leaders. It's his stupid fault that we're about to enter the Promised Land and that we're not in slavery anymore. So they challenge him, and God gave them leprosy. It started with Miriam and Aaron, and God put a stop to that real quick and gave them leprosy. In Numbers 13, they send out the spies to go look at the land. Again, go assess this wonderful place that we have for you. Uh-oh, there's some giants in there. Uh-oh, there's some people with some fortified cities. Uh-oh, they look big. There's a lot of them. What? Again, that's fear. Okay. Well, now fear's leading to doubt. Fear's leading to anxiety. Fear's leading to distrust in the Lord. You can see how, again, it's so quick and it happens so fast, how these emotions that God gives us turns into us completely abandoning him, which then builds and builds and builds to when Now we're lying and our actions are against God. And all it started with was an emotion that became unchecked. So they fear. So then they're like, well, what are we going to do? Let's give a bad report. Well, this land is good, but, and they start giving a bad report. Well, guess what? That bad report spreads. Now everyone's in on it. This must be bad. So now in Numbers 14, because they're scared, they start to rebel. They start to complain. They really, their disbelief leads God to saying, I'm about to wipe you all out. I'm fed up with it. It'd be like your parents saying, I have a really good Christmas, and you're whining that they won't give you a sucker. Like, why can't I have a sucker? And they know in the other room they have like $600 worth of Christmas gifts, and they want to throw the sucker and say, wake up! I have Christmas in here, and you're whining about a sucker. God said, I'm done. If you don't want to be in it, then we'll just start wiping them out. And he actually started a plague. And Moses, what a great leader he was. He prayed on behalf of the people, and God stopped the plague. But there's still consequences. And other than Caleb and Joshua, every adult in that group did not get to enter the promised land. And we can backtrack this. That's a pretty big deal. What did it start with? Fear. Fear. And you can throw in the blank. You can throw in sadness. You can throw in fear. You can throw in any of those primary emotions. But when they become unchecked, it's bad news. And when they become unchecked and we make bad decisions, we have consequences. So none of the adults are going to be able to see the promised land. You'd think they'd get the point, but nope. In Numbers 16, they get jealous of Moses again. And a group of about 250 people start bickering, whining, and God just swallowed them up with the ground. I mean, read through this number stuff. It's crazy and it's awesome. But God's just like, I'm sick of the whining. Oop, and then they're gone, 250 of them. The next day, they grumbled more. And then the Lord killed 14,700 people in a day. Think about Katrina. That was 5,000. That's three Katrinas. Think about how big Katrina was for our country when that hurricane did that. God did that in one day times three. And then in Numbers 20, they quarrel against Moses again. And that's the story where he gets mad. And in his anger, he hits the rock. And it might not seem like that big of a deal, but God did not tell him to do that.
Right.
And he did it because why? He was angry. How many times have we done something really stupid because we've been angry? How many times have we done something really stupid because we have been sad? How many times have we done something really stupid because we've been in fear? So again, sad, fear, and anger, they're a part of us. God had them too. But when Peter chopped off that ear in anger, Jesus healed that ear. Jesus was probably angry too. And you see the difference of a man that lived in his emotions and a man who understood his emotions and knew who his father was.
I like in Numbers where God, my family is a family of comedians, many of us, my dad being the lead. And then Rick Weed over here is a part of the family too. He's a comedian himself. But I always love to find the humor in God, and I like when he told him, he said, I'm going to give you so much meat it's going to come out of your nostrils. But one of the takeaways from that story is that how, you know, a lot of the consequences based on our emotions and the actions that we take based on our emotions, those consequences can be for us as individuals, but it can be generational for our kids. It's a generational thing. When you think about that, my son and my daughters could feel the effects of something that I've done
and you may not even ever even know about it, but I know about it, God knows about it. That leaves a lasting effect on me, and I have to learn how to take it to God. And so I just hope that today, between Travis and I, that we've said something that helps you to feel some level of conviction, and it makes you want to repent of some of these emotions that you may feel and to take it to the Lord. So with that, I'm going to end in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we just thank you for an opportunity to just be in the room. Your Holy Spirit is here today, and we thank you for your message. We thank you for your wisdom. We thank you for having a chance, even to this day, to have a chance to change and turn around our situation, because we know who ultimately our source is, and it's in you. And we know that as long as we have breath in our lungs, we can come to you, and that you can turn our situation around at the snap of a finger. So, Lord, I thank you and I glorify you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.
All right, guys, let's have some good discussion time. Hey, if you got to get back to work and stuff, feel free to take off, even if your day has not quite done it.